listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live on the Right Side Studios, hour number three, local, the state, the national, man, we cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, if you can see the camera because you're watching the live stream, you're probably seeing some guy sitting in here with me. That would be Greg Cook. Greg Cook is the Republican running for the Alabama Supreme Court, grew up in Florence. A graduate of Harvard Law School, went through Duke University on an Air Force ROTC scholarship, spent time in the Air Force, reached the rank of captain. Actually worked with the Federalist Society. When he was Harvard Law, he worked with the Federalist Society's Journal of Law and Public Policy alongside who is now Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. Moved back to Alabama, practicing law in Birmingham, been extremely involved in Republican politics in the state of Alabama, won the primary this year. To hopefully take a seat on the state Supreme Court. Greg Cook, how you doing?
Very well, Phil. Very excited to be here today, and we'll be more excited next Wednesday morning.
I know you are. And there's the old saying, there's only two ways to run, scared and unopposed. And right now, since you've got opposition, am I correct?
I do. I have a Democrat running against me.
All right. Well, then just go ahead and run like a scalded dog and go all the way. Even though we're a red state, take nothing for granted. And I know you've been campaigning hard because I see you all the time at events around the state.
Yeah, I have been to every single county in Alabama. I have campaigned in all 67 counties. I have put almost 80,000 miles on my pickup truck since started working on this campaign, started calling people in November of 2020, went down the state executive committee for the Republicans and started calling the county Republican members. And then I started going places in January of 2021. So I've been working at this for almost exactly 2 years.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's what it takes, though. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. And a statewide campaign is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, I having run for the state Senate, mine was a multi-county race, but I can't imagine having hit all 67 counties. That's just amazing.
Well, it makes you humble, Phil. I mean, a state Senate race, I think y'all would have about, 140,000
right.
in your district?
Right.
I have 5 million people in my
yes,
district.
Yes, you do.
That's a lot of people. And you realize how few of them that you can personally touch. It's impossible for me, even going to all 67 counties, even me being on the radio, for me to touch even just a fraction of the number of people, a number of votes that I'm going to need. So I need the help of supporters across the state. I need the grassroots of the Republican Party. I need, frankly, I need God's hand in this race. It really has made me very, very humble. And my race in the primary was got a lot tighter than I expected. I ended up winning by 11 points. I won 53 of the 67 counties, which I was very proud of. But the last 4 weeks of that campaign was very intense. And
yeah.
A lot of money got spent. I spent almost $1.5 million in that race. My opponent spent almost $2 million in that race. So it got very, very intense. And I learned that, I'm a believer in Proverbs 3:5, lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that's, I've got that reverse, but you know what I mean.
I do.
You've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I'm somebody that likes to plan things, so I like to plan my future. I like to plan out, and you can see that in that 2 year race I've had, lining things up and doing things methodically. And that's just not God's will. God's will is that you learn to lean on Him. I think that God's teaching me something through this race.
Well, I'm sure that's true, and I have I've experienced that in my own life, and had other family members that were in politics, and it is humbling. It's also mm-hmm. it's also extremely humbling to get out there and have people actually want to hear what you have to say, which is humbling in itself. And then at the same time, have to be able to express yourself in a way that grabs the hearts and minds of the people you're trying to win votes from. But you've been doing that, and you've been making the rounds. And I remember you telling me one time, I'm the boring candidate, which
That's
I always
right.
thought was kind of funny. But you're running for a job that is not maybe the sexiest thing on the ballot, being a Supreme Court justice. And a lot of folks don't realize, oh, wait, at the state level, the Supreme Court guys have to, or ladies have to run?
That's right.
Yes, they do. But it's a job that affects pretty much every Alabamian, because the things that come out of our state Supreme Court are just as weighty sometimes as what comes out of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Well, the Alabama State Supreme Court is the last word on the meaning of Alabama law, and it's the last word on the meaning of the Alabama Constitution. And the federal courts can decide what they want about the federal laws, about, as you know, in the federal Constitution, but they have to defer to the Alabama Supreme Court when state law is at issue. And so it's an important position. And, you know, it's particularly important, you know, with this U.S. Supreme Court. I think correctly so, this U.S. Supreme Court is starting to return things to the states that should be at the states.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's going to be a lot more responsibility on the shoulders of state Supreme Courts. And we've seen that happen in other states. We've seen Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Ohio Supreme Court, North Carolina Supreme Court, courts that have turned into very important courts, both on election issues and some other issues as well, that are very, very evenly split. And so it's really important that we elect people to the Alabama Supreme Court that trust our values. And in my mind, the values of Republicans are that we follow the rule of law, and we understand that our legislature is the ones that have been authorized to make the law. And I'm not going to be authorized to make the law. It's my job to follow the law and enforce the law, and not to impose my own personal beliefs.
Well, and I think that's huge, because not every jurist can be said to be someone who is a strict constructionist, someone who cares about the rule of law. There's oftentimes the argument that what we're seeing sometimes, especially from the liberal appointees to the bench, is that they legislate from the bench. But what I'm hearing from you is that is not your mode.
No, it's not. I believe that judges take an oath that they're supposed to follow the law, not make the law. And so I believe in what's called the original public meaning doctrine.
Yeah.
And what that means is that you're supposed to look at the words on the page first. And you look at the meaning of those words when the law or the provision got passed, not what they mean today, because words can change over time. You look at what they meant when they got passed, because that was what was democratically approved. Sometimes that's easier said than done. You might have to go pull out some dictionaries from that period of time. You might have to go read the Federalist Papers. But that's your job, is to understand what the original public meaning, the meaning that the folks in the streets thought the law meant, not some unexpressed subjective intent of the people who wrote the law, what the words on the paper meant when it was passed.
You know, and what's interesting, too, is a lot of folks don't realize, I didn't until I got down to the legislature, spent 8 years as a senator, is that there are times when the state Supreme Court also has to provide opinions on
things. Right.
We call it an opinion of the justices. And if we had a matter before the legislature that required an understanding or an interpretation of where we were headed, there are times when the justices had to weigh in upon request and provide either the speaker and the governor are allowed to request an opinion of the justices. Am I correct in that, or do you know? I believe that's correct.
I believe that's correct. I don't want to be certain about that, Phil, but I know you're right, and it's odd. I mean, if you think about it, in federal court, that's exactly what is prohibited. In federal court, you have to have a case in controversy, and they're not allowed ever to express opinions on hypothetical issues or pending legislation. You have to have an actual case or controversy under the U.S. Constitution. But in Alabama, the law is different. The legislature, as you said, can ask for an opinion on a pending bill or a particular issue, and then the court is supposed to respond, although I have seen in the past a few times where they refuse to answer the question.
Yeah, and I've seen that, and that's because they recognize it might have been asked for purely political purposes or something like that. But the reality is the members of the bench of the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama wind up weighing in on issues on a daily basis that affect the people of the state. And I've said more times than once on this show, I don't think I ever realized until I got down there myself that so very often what comes out of Montgomery affects our day-to-day lives more than what comes out of D.C.
Oh, it does, and a lot. And I would emphasize to your listeners, if they want to change something, and they want to talk to their senator or they want to talk to their representative, they can actually do it. They can actually change the law in Alabama. They can change things that are going to affect their lives and
That's
the
right.
lives of people on their street. If they want to change a law in Washington, it's really hard. But, you know, so I'm telling you, you can get a lot of things done in the legislature and the state legislature, and it makes a big difference. And likewise, because of that, the Alabama Supreme Court's got to weigh in on those issues with their if there are controversies that arise, and they have an impact on people's lives, their actual lives that they live every day.
Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, let's do this. We're going to take a break right now.
Yep.
We'll come back in just a minute. I'd like for folks to get a feel for who you are as a person, a family man, involved with the Boy Scouts, time in the military. And I'd like to also hear about you work with Neil Gorsuch. Tell us what he's like as a person, all right?
Okay.
All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, sitting in studio right now with Greg Cook, the Republican who is running for a position on the Alabama Supreme Court. This is a guy who's going to make decisions about things that affect all of us day to day. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Well, sitting here in studio with Greg Cook, the Republican candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court, and we just talked a little bit about his theories of how the members of the bench should apply the law, how they should not get into legislating. But Greg, I tell you what. I've known you off and on a bit through Republican circles throughout the years. You've been very involved in Republican politics. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about you as a person.
Yep.
I'm sure my listeners do too. So talk about, first of all, I guess you've been a longtime Republican. You didn't just jump into this and say, I'm a Republican today.
No, I've been a volunteer for the party for almost 31 years. I've been doing things across the state. So I've been the general counsel for the Alabama State Republican Party. One of my partners was the general counsel for the party for almost 40 years. And so I was his deputy right-hand person for many of those years as well. I tried election cases for the party to set aside elections. I have done recounts because if it's a recount in the primary, the party is supposed to do that recount. So I've actually run the machines. I've been the hotline on election day. When someone calls the Republican Party with a problem, they end up with me.
Yeah.
I've done the training for our volunteers sometimes. I was a delegate for Donald Trump in 2020. And I know, because of COVID, we only sent a handful of people to the convention that year. And so I was one of the six from Alabama that got to go because I was on the delegates elected me to the credentials committee. So I got to go to Charlotte for the convention. I went to Florida for the Bush-Gore hanging Chad fight.
Oh, my gosh. There's history.
Yeah.
So you were down there watching them count hanging Chads?
I was there for about a week. It was incredibly tedious. It was about 7 a.m. to about 10 at night because they'd been given a deadline. I was in Palm Beach, and they did this recount in their emergency response center, normally used for hurricanes. And so they had this huge room, and they had various stations set up, and each station would then get a box of ballots from a precinct, and then the employee, there was one employee for each station, and they'd be pulling the boxes out and pulling the ballots out, and the Republican would be watching them, and the Democrat would be watching them, and we would make sure that we didn't disagree with how you read that old-style data punch card.
I mean, and nobody even knew what a hanging Chad was until that election. I mean, nobody ever heard. I'm not sure they even made the term up just for that that news cycle.
Yeah, because people manually would punch the punch card with a stylus. Imagine something you you know, an ice pick. And that's what they were punching through in these old style data cards. And what we found was they'd already been run through the counters one time on the election night. They'd been run through for an electronic count a second time. So they had been handled and handled and handled. And so some of the punch cards would have punches out or punches almost out. And so you would have to determine, well, are there two punches out? Because you can't vote twice for president. So if you voted for Al Gore and George Bush, then that vote didn't count. Or what we saw a lot was, I don't know if you remember, Ralph Nader was running as the Green Party's candidate.
Yeah.
So we saw lots of ballots get disqualified because they had voted for Al Gore and for Ralph Nader. And don't know how that happened. Don't know if that was because of the people handling the cards or people changed their mind or people were confused because of what they called the butterfly ballot. But whatever the reason was, those ballots did not count.
Wow, that's an amazing time. I told folks on the show earlier, by the way, that election right there is proof that every vote counts because the entire nation hung on one county. Was it Dade County or Broward County?
It was the whole state of Florida.
It was all over the place.
It was all over the place. Oh, wow. It was 537 votes, I believe it was.
It was for the entire nation to rest on 537 votes.
And you start thinking about how few votes that is in comparison to everything else that's going on in the state. That is about one vote every 20 polling places in Florida.
That's amazing.
That's how small that margin was.
Well, listen, in the few minutes before the next break, and you're going to stay with us for a little bit after, but give us an idea who you are. I mean, so the voters are going to go to the polls. Some are going to vote straight ticket, and you're going to be fine with that. Others are looking for the name, and they want to go, oh, that guy Greg Cook, I heard on the show, but and talk to us about your military service, your family, for that matter. Go ahead.
Well, good. Well, I'm from Florence originally, and got my first job working at Wendy's Hamburgers there in Florence. did not like emptying grease buckets.
I was a Chick-fil-A guy myself.
Chick-fil-A. You were upscale, man. I couldn't get that Chick-fil-A job, you know. In 1980, it was hard to get summer jobs, I'm telling you, in Alabama because Jimmy Carter was president. And the unemployment rate in the Shoals area, Colbert County, Lauderdale County, was about 19%. So it was hard to get that job. I was thankful to have that job at Wendy's Hamburgers, but I knew I didn't want to empty grease buckets my whole life. So I was very thankful that the Air Force helped me to go to college. My parents could never afford to send me to Duke University, and the Air Force paid my way through. And then they helped me after my time at Duke to go into law school.
Wow.
So I had the Air Force, served 4 years in the Air Force between college and law school.
You're what, a communications officer? A
communications and computers officer. I was stationed at the Pentagon, enjoyed my time and my 4 years in the Air Force. My dad was Air Force. He was a navigator on B-52s for about 10 years. My younger brother went to the academy, and he was a C-141 pilot. So we're an Air Force family and very thankful to the military. But after that, then I went off to law school at Harvard and just loved the opportunity to fight the battles with the folks at Harvard. There were some real conservatives there, and there were lots of people that were not conservative.
Maybe even less now than there were back then. But well, listen, we're about to take a break right now, Greg. When we get back, reflect for us for a little bit on what it takes to go through an election, how your family's holding up through all this.
Yep.
And tell us what Neil Gorsuch is like in real life.
I will.
All right. All right, folks, we're sitting here with Greg Cook, running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Do not take for granted that position is one that I'm saying this as an attorney and as a citizen. That position is one that literally makes decisions every day that impacts the things that we do, get to do, or not get to do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Half hour more coming. Turn it up. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right, we're in the final half hour of the show here, still sitting with Greg Cook, who is the Republican running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Greg, thanks for hanging around a little bit longer. You and I were commenting, I do like it when folks are in studio. It gives us a chance to kind of branch out a little bit and not feel so stymied by the phone and the, you know, anyway. I actually had somebody once on a phone interview that put the phone down and walked away during a commercial break, and we couldn't get him back.
Oh.
It's like, somebody call him, please, and tell him we're still on the air. But anyway, thanks for being here today. We were talking about you as a person.
Yep.
Now, your family, I'll be honest, politics is as hard on the family as it is on the candidate. So what was the conversation like with your wife when it came time to say, I want to run for office?
She was incredibly supportive. We had prayed about it for a long time before we decided to do this because we both knew how much work this was. My wife is, frankly, a better politician and people person than I will ever be. She's a city councilor in Vestavia. She's in her second term, so she's been there for almost 8 years. And very proud of her, and she goes with me whenever she can. She is on the campaign trail. She has been my surrogate to speak for me sometimes. She is my treasurer for my campaign. I just absolutely could never have done this without my wife, and very much appreciate her. We've been married for 34 years, and very proud of my wife.
You got three great kids, right?
Three great kids, two boys. My oldest son went to Alabama, got a computer science degree. Now he's a contractor for the Defense Department. My youngest son's still at Alabama. He's a senior. And my daughter is a law school student. She just finished working in the Senate for three different Republicans, Senator Shelby, Senator Sessions, and Senator Lamar Alexander. So I have three strong conservatives in my family, very proud of my boys and proud of my daughter. And all three of them went to Dawson Baptist in Birmingham. And all three of them got dedicated there, got first grade Bibles there, got baptized there. So we're a strong Baptist family as well. And both of my sons are Eagle Scouts. I'm a vice president with the Greater Alabama Boy Scout Council, which covers the northern half of the states. And I have done hundreds and hundreds of miles of hiking and climbing through caves and rappelling off of mountains and rafting down rivers with the Scouts. And I believe in the Scouts, Phil.
I was in scouting when I was early on. We were a military family, so I moved so often. I wound up not, you know, after Weep Wars, I didn't go. But my dad and my uncle were hugely involved. Uncle was an Eagle Scout. My dad would have been an Eagle Scout, except that I believe his pack leader or his
troop leader, scoutmaster
died of a heart attack right before dad was going to finish up. So they didn't. It's a heck of a thing. Let me ask you this, for the benefit of the folks in the audience, and I can gather it, but when you were at Harvard, not known necessarily for being a bastion of conservatism, but you were with the Federalist Society. For the benefit of the audience, let them know what the Federalist Society means in the legal world, and then you were there with Neil Gorsuch, who now is on the Supreme Court of the United States. Give us some perspective on him.
So the Federalist Society was begun, I believe, in 1982, and it was begun because students and young lawyers felt like there was no opportunity for folks to hear conservative thought, that you were only hearing the liberal side of legal doctrines. And so the Federalist Society was begun as a place where people could come have open forums, that we would have speakers from all sides of issues and have full debate and have free speech. And that's what they've always stood for. So the Federalist Society has been identified more with conservatives because we believe in free speech, Phil.
Figure.
I know, it's crazy. And the Federalist Society has this law journal at Harvard, the Journal of Law and Public Policy, and its purpose is to publish symposiums, articles by people who have been at those panel discussions. And so next week, the Federalist Society will hold its annual convention in in Washington, D.C. They have typically over 1,000 people there. It's an amazing organization. I'm going next week along with, I know, Justice Mitchell, Jay Mitchell from the Supreme Court will also be there. Yeah. And lots of other conservative lawyers and leaders will be there. I know that Bill Pryor, our former Attorney General and now the Chief Judge of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals here in for our area of the country. He's the head federal judge. He will be given the first speech in the Federal Society Convention next week. So just about every judge that was appointed to be a federal judge by President Trump was a member of the Federal Society. So.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that people need to recognize past affiliations. And you didn't become a Republican yesterday so you could run for the seat. You've been a member of the party for years. You've also, though, by the way, been a member of the Federal Society. I think you're laying a groundwork here for what conservatives, you know, the listeners of this show are broadly conservative, are looking for in a jurist. Now, let me ask you this. You served when you were at Harvard. You were there with Neil Gorsuch.
Yep.
All right. So how's that guy in real life?
Well, he's actually pretty laid back, to be honest.
Really?
I won't say that he liked to have a lot of fun, but he was somebody that was going to be sure that his life was well balanced. His mother, I don't know if you know this, his mother was the EPA director for Ronald Reagan.
No, I did not know that.
And she got into some sort of terrible dispute with the Democrats who were running the House at the time. And she ended up resigning. And Gorsuch got mad at his mother for resigning. He was a high school student. He was like, "You should never have given up, Mom." He is somebody that's a true believer and somebody that I'm proud to have as a friend. And he has worked his way up. He was appointed to the Court of Appeals for the West, the 10th Circuit, which covers the Colorado and that area, when he was 38 years old.
Wow.
So he is somebody that's worked his way up the hard way. He was a law clerk for Justice White. Then he was a law clerk, I believe, for Justice Kennedy. So he's had two different U.S. Supreme Court justices he was a law clerk for. Incredibly bright guy. Finished Columbia University as an undergrad in 3 years. He's a great person. He will be a great justice. And he's 5 years younger than I am because I spent 4 years in the Air Force and he finished college in 3 years. So he's 55 years old now. So he is going to be there representing our values, the rule of law values, for maybe 30 more years, Phil.
Well, I tell you what, Greg, so next week, hopefully you'll be going to the Federalist Society and celebrating having just seen a victory at the polls. But Tuesday's coming, and if folks want to find out more about you, where can they go to see it, online or wherever?
So I have a website. It's cookforcourt.com. Also have a Facebook page, Greg Cook for Supreme Court, an Instagram page, Greg Cook for Supreme Court. And I'd like to leave your listeners with three things to remember about me and then two requests. Three things to remember about me. Number one, Greg Cook is a Republican. He doesn't just talk about it. He's walked the walk for 30 years. And number two, Greg Cook knows election law. I've been doing that for the party for 30 years. And number three, Greg Cook is boring and predictable. I'm just a nerd, and that means I'm going to get the answers right. Yes, that's what you want. Someone's get the answers right. And then lastly, I would say for your constituents, your listeners, please have them go vote. Don't assume anything. This is like football. It's not one on paper. It's one on the field. We got to go vote. So please go vote. And then second, vote straight Republican. You know, I'd love it if they could work their way down to my race, but it's kind of at the bottom of the first column, I think. That's going to be it's kind of down there, and people sometimes forget your name. It's just easy. Vote straight Republican, Phil.
All right, Greg Cook, thanks so much for being here today. You've got the weekend. This in the military, we would say you got, what, 5 and a wake-up or something like that.
Yep.
So best of luck to you. Thanks for being here today. And, folks, you've just heard from another one of your candidates on the ballot next week, and go out there and vote accordingly. Greg Cook, thanks so much.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, we're taking a break. Y'all stay tuned. Come right back and wrap it up for the day. Boomer, I only got 2 of my dippers done, bud.
Only 2. It's all right.